Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Joining us from somewhere throughout the country, I'm not exactly sure where. Good morning to you, Tali. How are we doing?
Morena, I'm coming to you from Tāmaki, Makaurau.
That's right. I did have it written down somewhere. I'd forgotten. How's Tāmaki doing?
It is sunny at the moment, but it's looking a little cloudy soon. But it's been absolutely beautiful up here. It's been like 24 degrees. I went swimming yesterday, popped my summer swim cherry yesterday.
Nice, bro, nice. That's so good. What are the swimming conditions like at the moment in Auckland? You know, because I hear stories all the time of, you know, a storm coming through and then a lot of sewage ends up on beaches. So are the beaches relatively clean at the moment?
Yeah, beautiful at the moment, for cool. Sure. But, you know, who knows when the next sweep of rain will come through. Auckland is four seasons in one day, so.
Oh, I think that's the whole country. Yeah, it's brutal here as well. But I've got a friend who grew up on, like, Bethel's Beach. Is that a good spot?
It's beautiful there, but it's west coast, so it's quite intense. Like, you know, it's more like a surfing sort of spot. Oh, not really surfing, actually, even. I filmed a music video there, and it's just a very expansive black beach.
Mm.
And you've got to walk quite far to swim. But there is a natural lake nearby. You walk over some sand dunes and you come to a lake, which is pretty cool.
Oh, true. Is that the Bethel's Lagoon? What people call that?
Maybe. I've never heard it called the lagoon.
Oh, you're not
allowed to swim there. Anyway,
cool. I want to talk about Auckland just for a little bit longer, because being in Dunedin, we get a lot of Auckland expats who come down here to study and live the sort of alcoholic party lifestyle, and they have a monopoly on student EDM, or they have for a while. It was basically all drum and bass music, and I sort of want to know, you know, what are the origins of drum and bass up in Auckland? Has it always been quite a popular form of EDM?
I just hate the way you call it EDM. But
sorry. I just mean like, you know,
it's electronic dance music. I get it. It's just that, you know, EDM has that such a connotations with certain types of DJs and certain types of raves. I mean, I'm not an Aucklander. I'm originally from Taranaki, and I grew up raving in Christchurch. But I do know a bit about the foundations of Auckland, drum and bass. And yes, it has always been pretty popular, pretty underground, though. You know, when I say popular, it's still always had its underground vibes. And it was, you know, brands like Foo, Zen, who do Northern Bass, they were the ones who pretty much kind of started it. They had The Breaks, which was a night with 48 Sonic DJing, and Riddle. They had Subtronics, which was a promotions company up here. But, you know, I mean, they were always kind of like our competition, because living in Christchurch, we were like the Southerners who had our own promotions company, and we did a lot of stuff with people from Dunedin and Nelson. And I did play in Auckland back in the 90s, but it's interesting coming back and living here after being away in the UK and coming back and living here and sort of seeing how the scene has progressed. But lots going on up here, always lots going on.
Mm-hmm. There sure is lots going up on, in Auckland. It is the a hub of musical activity of all different genres, which is really, really exciting. Something you did that was quite awesome recently was you were recently on stage joining Julia Deans at the APRA AMCOS Awards, rapping along to a Masbo Q song, correct?
Yeah.
How do you find fitting into that rhyme scheme, man? It's tough.
It is not your typical, like, you know, la 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 la. It's not like a typical, like, I don't know what you call that. Like, Maz would probably tell me, because he's such a mathematician when it comes to rapping. But it's like, you know, your typical like four lines and four bars type stuff. It was very different, and particularly trying to fit it into dub and drum and bass when it's a hip-hop track, you know. But I mean, the thing that I pride myself on is being able to be a versatile MC or rapper, and I've always been able to flow over many different styles and change up the way that I deliver my own rhymes to fit different genres. And so for me, this was just a case of learning his lyrics first and then choosing how I wanted to lay them down over the dub and then into the jungle. And having a little bit of free rein with the way that I delivered them. And then it was just a case of practicing and learning what I had chosen to do, you know, so that it became second nature. And then on the night I would deliver it as I wanted to. I mean, I still made mistakes, but I think I did a good job. He was pretty stoked.
You pulled it off real well, man. I mean, I couldn't for the life of me tried to do that. I would have gone 4 words in and bailed.
Five verses, man. It was a lot.
That is a lot. That is a lot. I want to speak about hip-hop a little bit more because you said on the Kiwi Yarns podcast recently that as an MC, you are the connecting force for the audience to the DJ. And I think it's fascinating that you've said that because it made me think when hip-hop first started coming around in New York, DJs were actually the focus of attention. They were the pinnacle of the show. And the MCs were just really hype men. And, you know, there were breakdancers there who were also helping the show move along. But then the MC started to gain more prominence and the role has totally flipped. Like, rappers are the focal point for hip-hop now and producers are just, you know, the people who make the good beats. Why do you think that flipped?
God, I don't know. I mean, I feel like people I can only create my own hypothesis on why, you know. So, I mean, I think, first of all, MCs cannot exist without the DJ. The DJ is imperative to you know, us being able to get up there and perform. Unless, you know, you become a DJ yourself, and you might see more and more in drum and bass that a lot of MCs have chosen to DJ themselves. Like people like Deggs, for example, he DJs and sings. And then you've got people who are like singers, like Ellipsa. She chooses to sing and DJ and then come out from behind the decks and perform. But yeah, I mean, I think in terms of like the MC, people like having somebody who's close up, whose eyes they can look into, whose hands they can grab, who's saying things to them that creates that connection. And sort of when you've got a DJ back on the stage, especially the way that DJs are positioned nowadays, you know, like a long time ago, DJs were on the floor or they were up, hidden away in some booth somewhere and you didn't see them. And it was all about the dance floor. Now DJs are put in this position where they're almost like kings and queens, you know, up really high and on a stage. And then there's no connection because they're so far away. So the MC gets to sort of get in between them and create that connection. Do you know what I mean? And I think, like, for me particularly, like, I don't want to be a DJ. There's definitely times where I wish that I could DJ better than I do, so that I could choose what I wanted to play. But at the same time, I think if you are a good MC, you should be able to work with a DJ and create that connection and be the force that sort of binds it all together. I mean, I wouldn't say we're the most prevalent thing anymore. I think in New Zealand, MC culture has actually been kind of killed off, really. And I see it more and more every week that less and less MCs are being booked and it's more just about DJs. And if you're a DJ that can shout some stuff on the mic, it seems like that's more important than maintaining the culture of the MC.
Mm. It's funny you say that because in that same chat on the Kiwi Yarns show, you also mentioned that the industry needs more women and to kind of increase the prevalence of women in the electronic field here, you ran workshops to get more DJs, producers, engineers, and MCs, but there weren't many keen on taking the mantle of an MC. You've mentioned before it's a tricky role and punishing because you can make or break a show, really, because you're the face of it. How do you encourage and nurture women to go specifically for that role?
I think first of all, we need to create more visibility in terms of women, you know, like it's that age old saying, you cannot be what you cannot see. You know, it's like that was the chorus of one of my songs, Superpower, because it very much so. DJs DJs can be male, female, trans, non-binary, right? We've got a whole plethora of those, but when it comes to MCs, it's usually mainly guys. And then what female MCs there are around the world, they're not really being brought out here to play. I made a real point of saying to Gareth from Fuzian that he needed to book Wiser to play at Northern Bass, and he's an amazing promoter because he's super open to suggestions and to creating diversity on his lineups. And he was like, all right, let me check this wiser lady out. And yeah, thought she was brilliant and brought her out here. And it was so great because there were so many girls and young women in the audience who were connecting with Wiser. And other than me, like, I'm the only female drum and bass MC who's ever played on that Northern Bass stage, you know. So Wiser was like a real novelty. But just to see, and not just the woman, the guys as well were frothing, just like thinking she was so, you know, talented, which she is. Mm-hmm. And I think visibility is super important. So first of all, if there's more female MCs coming out here and gracing stages as much as there are men, then of course it shows young women and non-binary people that there is a space for them. I think, you know, you can't... I mean, I could go out there and run talent shows and scour the country and try and find MCs, but at the end of the day, if they're not seeing something or someone that they look up to, what would make them think that they would want to pursue that? You know what I mean?
Completely, completely. And hopefully we can get more, you know, women and non-binary folks to do some MCing across the next few years. It'd be really awesome.
Yeah.
You've put out this new song called Life on the Line. It's a call to action, essentially, to ditch the little box of insanity that we have every day. It's kind of cool to do that and touch grass, you know, hang with people and reconnect with yourself and your whānau. Enjoy the music is another big takeaway here. Have you stopped using your phone as much in recent memory?
Yes. So I actually took a little break when I went to Bali recently for a bit of an early birthday treat with 18 friends and six children.
Nice.
And we went on this sort of like, you know, trip together as friends. And it was really about reconnecting as friends and reconnecting somewhere different, you know. And I purposely chose, like, just not to get any data on my phone. I think I may have got roaming data on the last, like, few days just because people were getting annoyed with me because they couldn't reach me. But I think, you know, when you're with that many people around you, friends, and you're more engaged in conversations, you are less inclined to be on your phone. And I came home with a real sort of sense of, like, it's good to be abreast of things. And I, you know, I am somebody who's very much into social justice, and you know, I'm an advocate for Palestine and Sudan and Congo and things that are happening for women in the industry, of course. But at the same time, you can't be all of these things to all of the people all of the time.
Yeah.
And I felt like my mental health was declining. Mm. And I honestly can say that taking a break was really necessary. And even though I felt the sense of guilt that I wasn't posting as much as I should, I also felt a sense of peace that and renewed energy that I was able to put into finishing my album, for example, because I really needed to come back and get on with that. And I found myself, you know, I'm unemployed at the moment. I mean, I am a musician full time, but I did have a job for a bit there doing a social media job for a record label. And when I finished doing that, again, my mental health just it was so much better because I wasn't like online all the time, like posting for other musicians, which I found really taxing in itself too.
Mm.
Because I've had all this time on my hands and the weather's been so nice. I've been doing things like painting my house and cleaning my curtains and, you know, scrubbing the windows and doing all these like little chores that kind of need to be done anyway to get the house ready for summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself feeling so much more just, yeah, at peace and more connected with others and even more connected with myself, Zach. I know that sounds weird, but like...
No, sounds normal. Trust me.
Like sitting there and like painting, you know, I'm not even listening to a podcast. I'm not even listening to music. I'm literally just listening to the birds.
Mm.
And it's so peaceful. And the serenity I'm feeling is really great. I feel really happy. So yeah, I encourage people to like take some time to get off social media. Like, I mean, I know it's hard if your friends are sort of all on there, but I think scrolling, especially doom scrolling, is just so bad for our minds and bad for our hearts.
Yeah, especially with the advent of all the AI stuff that's coming out, and you can't, like, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't really think anything's real on social media because, I mean, okay, A, it could be anyone who's posting it. B, now there's AI, so you don't know what the hell's being posted. Like, it's scary and it's dumb, and we should all get off it, because it's the only way that these companies like Facebook, Meta, ChatGPT are going to grow, and they need to die. So, you know, we're really going to jump off the platform.
Agreed. You know, and I mean, that also goes for, like, Spotify, you know.
Exactly.
The song on Spotify, and it was a bit of a scary decision because obviously everyone's really lazy and has Spotify and it's super accessible and easy. But I sort of thought, well, you know what? I've spent 25 years in this music industry. I've got a great following, like fans that I genuinely connect with, you know, that I have connections with. And I sort of thought, well, I'm going to do a bit of a test, and I'm going to follow the likes of people like Tiki, who's, you know, Tiki Tane, who's chosen to take all his music off Spotify. So the first thing I did was I've cancelled my Spotify account, stopped paying them. And then the second thing I've done is decide not to put this record, because this single is part of a new album.
Yes.
I've decided not to put it online. So it's a little bit of a test. And I feel like if it goes well, then I will make the decision to take all of my music off. But it's kind of hard because I have 20 years of music on there and a lot of different distributors and artists and singles and collaborators. So it's a lot.
It was funny when I tried to find you on Tidal. It's kind of the Tali on Tidal is everyone who could be named Tali. So you can find your music. You can find like real hardcore trap music from Atlanta. You can find all sorts of stuff.
It's a little difficult. And that's the thing as well. It's like, am I making it hard for people to find me? But then at the same time, I sort of feel like, well, you know what? We used to like dig for artists. Before we had Spotify, we used to have to try and find people, right? Even on Apple, on iTunes, we had to try and find people. And, you know, this new record is also going to come out on vinyl. And, you know, maybe even on CD, because apparently Gen Z's loving this resurgence of CDs. They're nostalgic for CDs the same way that, like, my generation's nostalgic for vinyl.
Yeah. It's funny to see that being mirrored, eh? I mean, I definitely grew up with the Walkman equivalent for CDs, and I used to listen to my mum's copy of Robin Williams' I don't know what record it was, but it had Rocky DJ on it, and I love that song to bits. So
you listen to a Discman?
Yeah, when I was a kid. Yeah, loved
it. So people kind of like your gen. I was lecturing at Auckland Uni the other day, and I was talking about doing vinyl, and all these young people were like, you need to do CDs. And I was like, really? Who's listening to CDs? And they were like, we are. We all drive secondhand cars with CD players. And they were like, you know, we need CDs to play in our cars. I was like, fair point.
Yeah, that's crazy. You've got this new EP or album, sorry, that's coming out. It's called Empress Era. When can we expect to see it come out?
So that will be coming out in March. Mm-hmm. So the first single, Life on the Line, came out on Friday. The second single is coming out on December the 19th, and the album itself will be out in March.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. And you've also got a remix coming out this Friday. I'm not sure if I can talk about it, but it's do you know who I'm talking about?
Mr. Arden England.
Yeah. Mr. Arden England, you've remixed one of his songs called Real Talk, which is so exciting. I had Arden on for a chat a few months ago. I love him. He is incredible.
What a great human, right?
I love him so much. He is great.
He's amazing. Yeah, he is a really nice person. He's a good friend. He's somebody I believe that, like, Arden is destined for great things. And I don't know if it's going to be here in New Zealand, because I don't know if New Zealand has the capacity to handle somebody as amazing as him. But, you know, I could see him on stages, like, in London and America absolutely slaying it. He does slay it. But yeah, the new single, it's kind of like a bit of a tech roller. It's a drum and bass remix, and it's kind of techie. So he loves it. I love it. People seem to like it. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, lean into the kitsch sometimes. Eh? Hey, thanks for coming on the program, Tali. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any final words to leave this corridor off on?
Well, the new single is called Life on the Line, and it features Polaris on production. The rest of the album is all produced by me, so this is the only track that's not produced by me. It's mixed down by Tiki Tane, and it's got hand-painted artwork from my friend Samantha. The whole album has got hand-painted artwork. Maybe just listening to this song, think about how you could maybe disconnect and connect in person, in real life with people today, mm-hmm. rather than being on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Thank you so much, Tali. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right, folks, that was Tali. We're talking to Tali about this new track, Life on the Line, with Polaris on production from her new record, Empress Era, which is going to be coming out in March next year. It's 21 past nine. We'll have Clowning Around at 9:45. I'll see you before then. Here is Tali with Life on the Line.
Scrolling, what's it achieving? No sense or reason to me. Attention grabbing, virtual backstabbing. What's even?
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 191 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.